You have to build your career based off the lifestyle that you want to actually live.
And I feel like that goes into creating the game that you want to play.
When it comes down to creativity in life, it's just like a lot of people are looking for a connection. A lot of people just want to be loved.
It's a level of like, I see you. And it's like, when you feel seen, you feel understood, you feel connected. And when that happens, everything else kind of works.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button. Action.
So we watched the video and it says,
I promise you, we watched the video.
And we ain't do nothing. No, we watched the video. The guy was talking about, I believe his name was Rex Life Raj. And he said the main question that he likes to ask artists is, how do you want to live as an artist? To summarize the entire video, he was like, of course, as an artist, you want to, like a lot of people say, they want to be the biggest artist. They want to make millions, billions, but he was also saying, if you can make $100,000 off of your music or off of your art, whatever it is that you want to do, you're winning. I believe that. But how do y'all feel? Well, first, how do y'all want to live as an artist? Do y'all have the answer to that question? Or have y'all thought about that question before?
I feel like I've thought about how I wanted to live. I don't know if I thought about it in this way, but I did. So I remember we had a conversation, me and you, Breeze. I think you were asleep. So.
Breezington.
We had a random conversation where we was like, you know what? I don't want to have to constantly be on the road. Like, I want to be able to perform whenever I want to, not because I need the money, just because I'm like, I would love to just do this performance or do this show, create this thing here, and not feel like I'm obligated to be touring constantly because I have to make more money. And I mean, even just like in whatever we're doing. So I think that in that aspect, I kind of thought about it, but that was the first time I even had that thought process. Because originally, I think I was feeling like if you're an artist, you know, because a lot of people say you make most of your money on touring. So if you're an artist, you're like, oh, I gotta go on tour. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta blah, 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 whatever. But really thinking about it from a perspective of like, what do I actually want to do as an artist? Like, what do I want my life to truly look like as an artist? I don't know if I've really got too deep on thinking about that. So now I'm gonna have to actually sit down this week and think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about it, not in regards to how you guys have said it. I mean, I thought about the amount, the minimum. I've definitely said, I was like, because when I was writing it out and I was thinking about how much I've made working regular jobs, and I was like, if I made $180,000 a year just off of my creative endeavors, I'd be like, I would feel like I was rich, even if I wasn't considered rich. I mean, technically speaking, that's not technically rich, but I've seen people have $180,000 a year and they living like the Joneses.
It's like upper middle class, I think. Yeah.
I feel like that depends on the person. Because a lot of times when people get more money, they immediately think their expenses got to increase. So if you make more money but still live like you was living, or even if you spending your money or circulating your money on things that's going to make you more money and stuff like that, you, $180,000 to start off with, it's amazing.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I just want minimum. God, you want to give me more? I'll take it. But just $365,000. So if I make $1,000 a day, I'll be good. I'll be living like a millionaire.
Mm-hmm. My minimum is $1 million.
Or,
like from my creative endeavors, it would be $1 million. I don't think that I would be unhappy with $100,000, but I would definitely still be working toward getting that million. Like, that would just be like the next goal.
Yeah, I feel like it'll be a lot easier to get to the million once you see that your create creativity or your creative endeavors can afford you the life or the freedom or the agency that you've been longing for.
I never thought about it like that.
So I'm not saying you got to stay at 100 or stay under the million, because 100 is 100,000 is more than I'm making right now. So,
yeah. Well over. I mean, that would actually be like a nice cushion. Like, that's not a bad place to start. Like, and I realized too, with at least for what I'm making now, or just in general, it's like if I paid off my debt, I would have way more like expendable like money so that I can actually invest it into stuff, so that I can reach whether it be the 100,000 or the 1 million. So when you say that, it's like it depends on the person and it depends on what you do and how you circulate that money once you do have it. I think that's like very important, because if you're making money moves, like you have thought process of like investing in yourself more after your not expenses, your income increases, versus being like, okay, well now I have to buy a house and I have to buy a super fancy car now and I have to do all these things because I make this much money now. Like, even something that I realized about Atlanta, this is something I realized when I was driving home from work. I feel like I've noticed it before, but for some reason it was just like stuck in my head. One thing that I noticed about people in Atlanta is they care more, or people that live in the city or closer to the city, a lot of times people care more about their car than they do their home. And I just find that interesting, because I grew up in the suburbs, and in the suburbs a lot more people care about their homes than their cars. So just thinking about like that aspect, even like down to how do you want to live your life as an artist, like where do you want to live at, what aligns more with your values, the values that you see in yourself as an artist or you want to have as an artist. And that might even dictate like where and how you live your life. Cause like, I think I value where I live at more than I value like the, having the newest car or constantly getting a car wash. Now I do want to make sure my car is clean, but if I need to buy groceries or clean my car, I'm going to get the groceries. Like, that's just a thing that that I noticed, because some people be having the nicest car and then you show up to where they live, whether it's an apartment or a house or whatever, and it'd be like, why you got this car? Because I feel like some of this should have went toward maybe a renovation, a little cleanup, something. But you know, different values for different people. So I think even if you look at it from that aspect as an artist of like, what do you hold valuable in your life, and how do you want those things to show up? I think that's even like a different perspective.
And I was going to say, for me, the main thing that I would want is to pretty much the freedom so that nobody can tell me no when it comes to the creative things. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to go through anybody at all for any of the creative things. If I'm going out to get some assistance, it's really just because I want your creative help, not because I need your financial help. Well, if I'm getting your financial help, it's more so I'm getting it so that we can build together, or this which would make more sense. But like, I want to be able to create the idea whether or not you're on board or not. Mm-hmm. So like, I have this idea, I want to do it. If I can't get the funding, I can fund it myself, and I won't feel the impact at all. So whatever that financial amount is,
I feel like that's like a, I don't need you here, but I want you here. Like, I want to work with you. You want to be in a space where, like, you can do what you want and have who you want around. But even if those people don't want to be a part of it, I'm doing it with or without you.
Yeah. I sent y'all another video. It was yesterday. It was about the Matrix and how America, I guess it's a microcosm of, or New York is a microcosm of the American dream. And what was you about to say?
What's a microcosm? Like a little baby version of it?
Hey Siri.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, where?
No, I believe it's a smaller version.
Oh, okay.
Small version. Of, and then, so the American dream. So
New York is a microcosm of the American dream, and the American dream is expanding globally. So it was talking about one of the isms. It might be colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
It might be that.
Maybe.
Some. But, and it was talking about escaping the Matrix, and it was a whole lot of stuff, and what to do, how to get out of the Matrix, or how to, like, play the game, but play your own game. That's what I'm working on now, creating the game that only I could win. So now I'm not distracted and everything. But the initial topic was, how do you want to live as an artist? And I feel like that goes into creating the game that you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I brought up the other video.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think that's a huge part of it. I also think, just like, as artists, we don't be thinking about how we want to live our life as an artist. I feel like we think about it a lot of times in terms of, like, this is what they said an artist should be or look like, whether it be for music or painting or, like, whatever your creativity, whatever realm that lies within. I feel like we look at it as, okay, well, this is what they said a singer is supposed to be. So I have to do this, this, and this, and that's how I'm going to live my life. Or it just be like blank spots. Like, of course, you want to leave room for God to do what he does, but it's also like, you picture yourself on stage and you don't see nothing else outside of that. And it's like, okay, well, how, you're not going to be on stage 24/7. So, like, what else do you see for yourself in the future? Or do you want to work toward, like, maybe you are in the studio a lot, but at the same time, it's just kind of like, do you want kids? Do you want a family? Do you not want any of that stuff? Do you want to be the person that drinks water all the time? Yeah. Or do you want to be the singer who smokes all the time, but they still sound good? Like,
yeah.
Who are you?
I was watching the video. I can't remember what this guy's name is. He's an independent artist, but he's a white guy. I can't remember what his name is, but the point he was saying, he was like, you have to build your career based off the lifestyle that you want to actually live. So he had decided he's not going on tour at all. Like, he just doesn't want to tour.
That was a comment.
Y'all look so sleepy.
Oh, I'm like, what?
I just seen it pop up. I can't read the word.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Just deep. He decided he don't want to go on tour.
Yeah, hold on. He was building his life based off of the lifestyle that he wanted. So he decided he didn't want to go on tour. He wanted to raise his kids and be at home most of the time. So he set up his career, like the bulk of it was going to be streaming based, online based, so that he didn't have to leave and all of the revenue was coming in from streams. So that's why he set up his stuff, so that now he doesn't have to go on tour. Like, if he wanted to, he could, but all of his stuff was based off the lifestyle that he had pre-decided before he got into it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I feel like we don't be as certain as to what type of life we want to live, just because a lot of times the life that we actually want to live is the complete opposite of what they said it's supposed to be, like, as an artist. Even, mm-hmm. like, being an artist that don't drink or smoke or go to the club, it's like, that's okay. You don't have to do that. But it feels like all we seen was this.
Yeah.
It's another video. I think you sent it about the blue light.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, basically, what I was thinking about last night is the government is teaching us how to be black artists.
Hmm.
So, like, they're controlling everything that we see. And so this looks like how it is to be a black artist. Just like how when J. Cole was beefing, or not beefing, but responded to Lil Pump, he was like, they listen to your music and think that this is how it is to be black. That whole line, synopsis, mm-hmm. or whatever. We're watching everything, and, like, in our minds, it's like, okay, this is what it is to be black and creative.
Mm.
So I think that might be where the starving artist comes in at, too, and the white savior.
So the video that he's talking about, I saw this video on Instagram last night. I'll put it in the comments as well. But he was talking about why our phones actually use blue light, and all of our devices use blue light now versus like red light or mm-hmm. any other type of light. Pretty much it started, from what the video said, it started with like the mafia in the West, like creating casinos and stuff like that. And they realized that if they had screens in there that had blue light, they could, they don't have to convince people to spend their money in there. It kind of is a way of controlling the mind. There's like science back behind it, versus if they use like a red light or anything like that. So if you ever see like Rick Rubin or somebody mm-hmm. who's wearing red mm-hmm. lenses or even yellow lenses and stuff like that, it's good. It's good for your eyes. But it also helps with like the blue light and all of that stuff. Do your own research. Just saying, I'm not a scientist, but I'll link the video that I saw in the description as well. But yeah, I think you're right though. I think that in a lot of ways. Oh, backtracking back to the video, and then I'll respond to what you said. Pretty much after the CIA discovered that was a thing, they helped like larger companies be able to, like, I think Google and Meta, they patent whatever so that they can have that in the phone. So it's like a way of mind control or whatever. So they can teach you how you were supposed to be or how they want you to be or think or da 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 da. So going back to what you were saying about them teaching us what it looks like to be Black and creative, I think that is very true in a lot of ways. And I think that's why, like when I was saying, talking about the different types of like hamster wheels, like content creation, all that stuff being another hamster wheel, or even last year when I was like, all right, well, this is how other people are doing their stuff. Let me do my stuff like that. It's like, yeah, this is cool, but like, this isn't you. Mm-hmm. And is this how you want to show up in the world as a creative person? Whether it be a Black creative or not, just like a creative in general, a woman that's a creative, is this how you want to show up? And does this feel authentic to who you are? I think that's like the most important question that we have to ask ourselves, because we are in a lot of ways taught, we're trained to show up a certain way when in fact it actually goes against who we are just in general as people, and because we think that we're weird because we're not showing up how everybody else is showing up, we opt out of the things that feel most authentic to ourselves, when what makes us authentic is likely what's gonna actually make us or catapult us into our dream lives. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a totally different point that was, I mean, it was about what you said somewhere in there. Oh, it was about the government and everybody showing us what a Black artist is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I think that's why, this wasn't even intentional, but this is what came to me when I was thinking about it. I think that's why I really enjoyed Kendrick's performance at the Super Bowl, mainly because after I was watching some of the, I went online, saw some of the discourse, people talking about what he was supposed to perform, this is like, when you go to the Super Bowl, you're supposed to perform this, you're supposed to perform your hits, people don't know you, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, like, even Black people are conditioned to view like the game a certain way. So you're mm-hmm. supposed to do this a certain way so that you can win. But like seeing him go up there and be like, pretty much you're given the biggest platform ever and you decide I'm going to keep it Black. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think that's one of the things that was, as you should, right? But that's something that I'm sure he decided how he wanted to live as an artist. Like he was like, I'm going to live for my people with integrity, that kind of thing. And I think people resonate with it because it feels genuine. Like, I think part of what, and again, this is not even trying to make this into a Drake Kendrick thing, but like the part of the issue or part of the reason why I think the Drake Kendrick beef went the way it went was because like Drake in a lot of ways represents the idea that people gave us of what Blackness is supposed to be. Kendrick feels like actual Blackness. Mm-hmm. So like there's certain stuff that you're doing, it's like we give it a pass because we love the music, but that doesn't feel like accurate to our actual experience, and it feels like you're cosplaying. And so like deciding what kind of artist or what kind of lifestyle you want to live beforehand. And this is something I learned from Quincy Jones' book, but like deciding that so that you can stay within your own personal like guidelines, so that you're like walking in your own personal path, so that you know like, hey, I'm going way too far off. This isn't the lifestyle that I want to live. And I feel like a lot of artists, whether it's from the government side, because they, or not even just the government, just the industry, how they promote it, they're promoting a certain type of artist. And because they're promoting that kind of artist, everybody feels like they have to be that kind of artist in order to get the money, the fame, whatever.
Oh, you go ahead. Y'all know what Nipsey said.
Thank last y'all. Time that I checked.
No. Oh, word, no.
He did. He said that.
But that's not what I was about to say.
I know what you was about to say. Go ahead.
Stay
go
in
ahead.
Your lane. Ain't no traffic in your lane.
Mine?
I don't know. Did he say main?
Nah.
I didn't think so.
That's Terrence Howard, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like, okay, yeah, that hey, didn't man.
Feel. Stay in your lane, man. Ain't no traffic in your lane, man. Ain't no traffic in your lane, man.
What was you about to say?
My bad. Shout out to Terrence Howard, man.
What was the last thing you said?
Stay in your lane, man. Oh, you was talking to Cole, my man.
Now I was talking
oh, me,
to you.
Me, me, me. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Me.
But last thing I was talking about was the kind of artist that everybody wants you to be versus the kind of artist that you're choosing to be. Like, they're giving you a sort of...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing that I was going to say, this wasn't the main thing I was going to say, but a side piece of the conversation was one of the artists that I, like how they move and everything, is Currency. So if I could emulate somebody's, I guess, career... Mm-hmm. It would be Currency, like how he operated, because his stuff is very niche based. And he was also talking about that in the video, like everything niche based. But mm-hmm. this was the main point. Once you realize that you don't need everybody to know who you are to live however you want to live, it makes it a lot easier for you to stay in your lane, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just be more true to yourself and more authentic to yourself and target or give your stuff to the people who actually want to listen to it or actually yeah. support you. And then that's going to allow it to spread. So then it's like, okay, once your name starts to get out there or your music starts to get out there, it's not like I just started doing this. It's mm-hmm. like, no, I've been doing this. I've been consistent. These people knew. These people was with me when I was, Yeah.
It was just us on this couch.
And then it's just like, once you realize that, the whole world doesn't have to know you. And then even like the largest names in the world, everybody don't even know them.
Yeah, I mean, there's outside of like Michael Jackson, there's really nobody that everybody knew. I mean,
Jesus, Michael Jackson,
maybe Beyonce at this point.
Yeah, maybe Beyonce.
Man, that's why
yeah,
I said maybe.
Jesus, Michael,
Beyonce.
And then everybody else, they just like...
The gray area. Nah, but I feel that. Yeah. I definitely feel that.
I was also going to say something that really helped me understand this more recently. Was I was watching a clip of Mick Jenkins talk about it. Shout out Mick Jenkins. He was talking about this is the first time he's doing it completely independent. And he's like, this is the first time he's charting. And I'm listening. I'm like, all right, cool. That's fire. He's about to chart on the Billboard or whatever. He was like, yeah, I sold 3,500 copies. And my brain couldn't equate 3,500 meaning that you were going to chart. I'm so used to hearing 300,000, 100,000.
I thought it was 1,300.
It might have been 1,300. I thought it was 3,005. Maybe it might, but it was somewhere between.
Still lower than 300.
Still way lower than 300,000, right? So then in my brain, I'm like, dang, that's crazy. Like, that's not that much. And then my scaling brain, my brain was like, let's put this into perspective. Having 1,000 to 3,000 people come out and pay attention to one thing. It's crazy because thinking about getting 20 people to come to a birthday party is difficult. Getting 3,000 people, I don't even know 3,000 people in my life. So like just understanding like the scale of it, the big machine portion of it makes us feel like we have to have million in a week. Because that's what we used to see. We used to see Wayne got a million in a week. Oh, Kanye got a million in a week. 50 Cent got a million. And it's like we got so used to seeing those big numbers, not realizing that those are exceptions And that's not something that you need to get to in order to live well.
Yeah. I was also going to just say that the way that music is consumed now is different also. So, like, in the way that we go about accumulating whatever the sales are, or whether it be streams or whether it be, like, physical sales, a lot of times that looks different as well. So, like, even if, let's say he did sell 3,000 copies. Like, let's say it was physical, but also let's say it was pay what you want. Mm-hmm. It could have been 3,000 copies where somebody paid, where the people paid, like, $200, $300. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been a variety of numbers, or it could have been $5 for everybody. You just don't know in what way people are consuming things. And I think that, like, realizing that everything is kind of a niche, or it doesn't have to be on the largest scale, I think that takes a lot of pressure off of the artist. Mm-hmm. So even if that winds up being your goal in the future, or that's just what happens, like, everybody knows you, or you also are conscious, like, everybody might know your name, but everybody might not like you. Or even just the thing of, like, everybody knows your name, but you know who your core fan base is. Mm-hmm. Or you know that you can still be you, and you'll still be loved and accepted. Because I think that that's what this whole thing is all about, regardless. When it comes down to creativity in life, it's just, like, a lot of people are looking for a connection. A lot of people just want to be loved. And whether that be by their family or by a million screaming fans, it just literally comes down to that's what life is about, mm-hmm. you know, love and happiness.
And I was
love and happiness.
No. I was going to say.
Something that I could say, no, I'm playing.
When it comes to actual, like, physical stuff, mm-hmm. now, because you said the way music is consumed and the way everything is consumed is completely different. So now, like, the physical stuff is more, like, as a collector's item type of thing. Mm-hmm. So people put a lot more value on the physical item because I might just save this or have it just to say I have it. I'm going to still stream it, but I just wanted this physical copy. So it allows us to create a more, I guess, intentional or more personal experience when it comes to the actual tangible items that attached mm-hmm. to whatever it is that we do.
Yeah, the irony is that I know I saw a lot of the bigger music companies are looking to do the exact same things that independent artists are doing. So they're trying to push for more physical stuff as opposed to doing them more digital stuff, because they're saying, oh, you guys are making money mm-hmm. and y'all are doing it on a smaller scale. If we put our millions, billions behind it, we'll make even more. And it's just like, ah, stop stealing like that. Y'all nasty. Y'all little grubby hands off my...
Your grubby hands off my app.
But I think that, I think that also when you know who your audience is in that way, like you said, like, you can tailor the experience for them, or you could do, like, a limited amount of copies. But it also just, that in itself shows you, like, the people that are supporting you. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times as artists, we have the tendency to look at the people that aren't supporting us and not appreciate as much as we should the ones that are. And it kind of, like, just kind of reveals to you, like, oh, you actually cherish what I do because you bought a physical copy. And, like I have B7 and I have Lemonade in my car. B7 by Brandy and Lemonade by Beyonce. Not just, you know, music notes.
And a glass of Lemonade in my car has been sitting there for years, just, you know.
But I have both of those albums, like, the CDs in my car. I don't play them. I have before, but, like, I haven't played them in a very long time, because I'll just play them from my phone, because my car also has Bluetooth. So I'll just play it from my phone. But just knowing that, like, I bought this because I believed in this project, or I really love this artist, is, like, a different level of connection than I think that you get from streaming. And as the artist, like, you get, that's, like, a whole different level of appreciation that you see coming your way, and I think it's cool.
Yeah. Oh, it made me think of something that I literally just thought about this morning. I realized that streaming is like going to the library, the old model was like having a bookshelf in your house. Because like before you used to buy the book, you used to, all right, now this is my collection. Now it's like, I'm going to the library, I'm going to bring this book back. So like when you go to the library, you're not paying a lot to get access to all of the books. You just pay your little subscription. Mm-hmm. And then I don't even know if the authors get paid for your book being in the library. I don't even know how much they would get paid, but it's like, it's a rent, so you're renting it. So like, all right, cool. I just give it back. We just don't look at it like we're giving it back and we're renting it. But that was something that I'm grateful that we grew up being able to see that and being able to have those moments where it's like, oh, I got a whole collection. These are my blah, blah, as opposed to me being like I'm walking into the library and grabbing a book. That library model is trash.
I mean, we can pay more than the people who have the books in the library.
Do we?
Because my mom, her books are in the library, in two of the libraries in Delaware. It's basically like you donating your book to the library for people to be
just
able
go
to
ahead
read.
And read for free.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah. So I mean we get at least a fraction of a penny. A fraction.
A ration. Word. Oh yeah, some rations. You know why we gotta create the game.
They said, oh, you see how much you made all of that? Oh look, your stuff is making a lot of money here. Like, we'll take that. Here you go.
Right.
Yeah, you did great. Keep doing what you're doing because you're making a lot of money.
And now that's even changing because Spotify and UMG made a newer deal that gives independent artists even less money.
Yeah, so one of my goals is to pretty much leverage my
creativity?
Nah, well that, but how I show up on everybody's platform.
Oh.
So what is that called?
Your brand?
I guess. So basically, in my own words, one of my goals is to...
Your image.
One of my goals is to just find all the people who resonate with me and what I'm doing. And I mean, like everybody else do, like sell directly to them type of thing. So, and I want to actually create an experience with this stuff. So everything going to be attached to something else and everything's going to have a meaning. I don't got to be so deep and philosophical with the meanings, but everything is going to be here for a purpose type of thing.
Yeah. I think for me, that is one of my goals as well. I think that I'm starting to kind of formulate that. Honestly, I'm still trying to pull it all together. In a way that makes sense right now. Just because, like, I did so much last year, but I feel like it all goes together. Like, the puzzle pieces are there. I just have to organize it and put the puzzle in place. That's how I'm feeling right now. And there are certain pieces that I just need to get just to solidify and certain decisions that I need to be like, okay, this is actually what I want. This is how I want it to look like. Why does it need to make sense? It doesn't need to make sense wholly, but right now, because some of the stuff, it makes sense to me, but it doesn't make sense to, like, other people yet. Like, even in the way that I have, like, my Discord set up and stuff like that, or the challenges and stuff. So I just want to make sure that I'm connecting the right dots. And not the dots that are fueled by doubt. If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Why? Does it matter if it makes sense?
Okay, all right. I guess that was the question.
All you gotta do is show up. That's what we're here to do.
Honestly, yeah, that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. I just need to make sure that I'm showing up. But I'm thinking about it making sense because I have fatigue. Honestly. And right now my brain feels cluttered and jumbled. And I need to clear some space out.
Maybe it's because you're trying to make it make sense instead of just getting the stuff out, so the stuff is just sitting in your mind.
Yeah, but I haven't had the energy to get it out, and that, so then I'm like, well, I need to make sense of it so then I can organize it so then I can get it out.
Yeah, nah.
She said I can dig it even if I don't understand the whole scope of your brain. Thank you. I feel seen.
But yeah, I'm just I'm still thinking about the scaling of everything, like getting people. Like, I'm just thinking, if you can imagine, if every time you stepped out, 1,000 people showed up, you'd be like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I'm that guy. Like, what you? Every time I step out, 1,000 people show up. And it's like, but just when you like look at it in terms of billboards, it's like, all right, only a thousand people bought your stuff. That's crazy. You went quadruple copper, and you'd be like, okay.
So I'm
next, like, all right.
Every time I pop out, 1,000 people pop out. Come
on. Like that's crazy. Listen, they would probably fine you for inciting a riot if every time you went outside, 1,000 people.
Honestly.
So you saw what happened to Kaisa Knott?
I mean, that was way more than
that. I mean, it was.
That was a lot of people that came out.
It's a lot of people that live in New York.
They flooded them streets.
But I mean.
So it go, Jesus, Michael Jackson, Beyonce,
Kaisa Knott.
She said your fans don't have to understand your intricate thoughts. We are here because we love you and the content. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like that is a concept that people who don't know you understand, but the people who are closest to you always ask for an explanation or to make things make sense. And then as an artist, you're just like, this is just what it is. And they're like, well, it doesn't make sense. So then you start feeling like you have to make sense of it. But that is good to hear.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I feel like it's that way because as an artist or a creative or as a person in general, we are just conduits at the end of the day. So a lot of stuff don't make sense. We just know we're supposed to do it.
Let me correct myself. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Not people that don't know you. People that... Because I know you. I don't know. Like,
they're not your entire life?
I guess they're not as close to...
I was going to say, people who are typically like your family are going to ask for more explanation because they're more concerned about the details and they're not looking at you. They didn't develop the relationship with you as a, I don't want to say fan, but yeah, as a fan, right? So like, they're not, like your fan is just, like the fan is just looking at you like, yo, I enjoy what you do. Mm-hmm. Like your family or people that are closest to you, they're like, I want to make sure you're good. What are you doing? Let me get the details of what this is. And the other person is like, I just like what you make. I like how you make it, and I like how you operate. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, take my money. And it's like that. And that's what it is. But I think we also don't realize that, like, even people who are asking for more explanation, you're asking for explanation for something that even you do, you just don't realize you're doing it. There's a reason why you watch the videos that you watch, or you watch the entertainers that you watch, or you buy the things that you buy, and it's because you like the person. You don't realize that that's what's happening. Yeah. So you're like, when they're talking to you, they're trying to ask you to explain the magic trick, and it's like, I can do it, but like, you're already, you're in it. Like, yeah. You're just not a part of it for me yet.
Right.
You're a part of it for somebody else, and you don't realize that that's what's going on. But I think for us, it's like you're too close for you to see that this is what's going on, you know?
Okay. All right. Y'all been hitting me with some gems. I'm so sorry for interrupting you.
You know. Every time I pop out, 1,000 people pop out. That's the last thing I remember when I was saying. Like, while y'all was talking, I was like, I have no idea what I said. I think it was good, though. But
it was. I'm sorry.
Do you remember?
No. Sometimes fans ask questions because they want to feel connected. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then that goes back to what you was talking about earlier about people just wanting to be loved.
Oh, yeah. Love and connection.
Yeah. So, like, it's not a thing of I'm above you. Like, once we have a conversation, it's like we're equals.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Or I see you.
A lot of times what I've noticed, Eric was said connected to the artist. Even when I was talking to the Uber drivers, too. Like, what it came down to, whether it was the beat or the lyrics or whatever, it was like when they start talking about their story or why they listen to whatever, you start to hear like they just feel connected to this thing. And even when I talk to people about our podcast or like things that I've heard about like Love the Creative Black Woman have been like people enjoy the fact that it feels like they're a part of the conversation or they can be a part of this conversation. which I mean was our intention the whole time, because these are just, this is literally how we talk. We would just sit around and have this conversation. But I think that connectivity is like such a huge thing that you don't realize is a part of it when trying to reach the people.
Yeah, I mean, I think connection is everything. And I think a big part of what connection is, at least for me, is being able to see, it's like being able to see somebody for who they are. Mm-hmm. And so when you're making certain songs or when you're making certain content, like your family may not see it because like you're not speaking about, like you're not speaking to them about them. You're not showing them who they are. You're not being like, hey, I see you. But the person who has no idea who you are, they see what you're doing and like, I see me in you. Like, mm-hmm. I see, like, that's me. I do that too. It's like, oh, I'm the same way. I'm a bad texter too. Like, it's that kind of thing. Listen, I'm a bad texter. I'm sorry. Sorry, Erica. I'm a terrible texter. I'm getting better slowly. But yeah, it's just like, it's a level of like, I see you. And it's like, when you feel seen, you feel understood, you feel connected. And when that happens, everything else kind of works in tandem. And it's like, being able to show people what they look like. Sometimes it can be off-putting. Like sometimes people don't like to see it. But then sometimes when you get it right, when you hit the nail on the head, it's like people become invested because it's like, yo, you get me. Even if you don't, like mm-hmm. it feels like you get me.
Okay. Yeah. And then that's how songs become your soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Or your theme song. Erykah said, "Damani, your texting is fine."
I appreciate it. You know, I'm getting better. Ooh, used to be weeks.
But I guess that even going back to the original question of like, that's another question to even ask yourself is like, how do you want to connect with the world as an artist? Because especially for us or other people who are, I guess, multifaceted. What is it? What do they say now? Multi-passionate?
Multi-passionate,
all of that stuff. Creatives that do multiple things.
Multidisciplinary.
Multidisciplinary mm-hmm. creatives.
That's the one I use.
Yeah, I've seen people use hyphenate a lot. That's the only reason
I also, do. I heard the hyphenate was from the Clubhouse days. I think multi-passionate is what they're using on YouTube now. I'll be seeing a whole bunch of videos with that title. And then multidisciplinary, that's, I think that might be the most like dictionary based term, academia, you know.
People that be in the field, yeah. We use that.
But I think that that's a good question to ask yourself is just like, in what way do you want to connect in the world? Because that'll also help to show you like how you want to show up and what type of life you want to live as an artist. Because if you want to connect constantly, like, through doing lives, like you were on TikTok all the time, like, going live all the time, that's the way that you see fit for, like, the foreseeable future, because let's not say it's going to be the end-all, be-all, but let's say, like, that's how you want to connect with people, or even how we have the Patreon, like, that's how we would prefer to connect with people, or just, like, figuring out how do you want to show up in the world, because if as an artist, I'm like, well, what way do I want to live my life? If I want to live my life on stage, then that means that I'm going to be doing a lot of performances, which means that I might not be home as often. But if I want to tap into, like, streaming or using, even, like, streaming on Twitch or whatever, like T-Pain be doing, it's like, okay, well, I can be home more often, but I might not be focused as much on my music. Like, just figuring out what it means based on who you what you want to show up as an artist.
I was also thinking just showing up in general helps you figure out how you want to show up and interact with the people. Because, like, you may do something and be like, all right, that's not me. I will never do that again. Mm-hmm. Or you might be like, oh, I actually like that. I love that. And it's just trial and error. Like we were talking about earlier, like, people just try things until they figure out what works or find something that works.
Yeah, like, for me, I would say with all of the self-care stuff last year and how I'm feeling now, I don't know if I can do everything in the exact same way that I did it like before. It wouldn't always be a copy and paste, copy and paste, copy and paste. It could be, But if I'm, because one way that I want to show up as an artist and just as a human being is that I want to show up as a person that takes care of themselves and values how they're feeling. And it's like, if I know that doing all that was a lot or just too much for me to do by myself, well, I guess it wasn't too much because I did it, but it was a lot for me to do by, like, as one person. It's like, okay, well, if I do this again, I want to do it in a way that is more strategic, or I have a team, or da 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 da. Just like, you're right, showing up shows you how you want to show up. Because I tried it on my own, y'all. And now I'm calling on the Lord. Because I'm tired, okay? I'm tired.
What you need to connect to? That's all! I was about to do.
If my voice wasn't heard.
Woo. I was about to say some water. That's us. You got to do it. You got to do it one time.
The sauce! I got the weakest the source. Like, I got to get it together.
Oh, but yeah.
Just got to make sure you tapped in. I had to just plug in the power system. You know?
The sauce!
There we go. We getting there. We cooking.
He wasn't plugged in before.
Yeah, that's it. He wasn't.
Oh, man. Oh. So, okay, with all this being said, as of now, how do you want to live your life as an artist?
Oh, I thought I had said it, but I'll say it again. I'm showing up, of course, as authentically me, but I'm also showing up. How do I want to live as an artist? I want to live. What did I say the first time? Oh, I just want to be. I want to be able to create what I want without having to ask for permission for any of it, without having to get this green light. I have to go through these channels to make sure that this goes out. Like, nah, like I want to make it. I made it, and we can. If you want to invest in it after, cool. But I want to make sure that all of my creative endeavors I can do whenever I want without any concern for financial restraint.
That's good.
That's how I'm living.
What about you?
The question is, how do I want to live as an artist?
Mm-hmm. Right now, in this moment.
The way that I want to live as an artist is can you answer first? How you want to live as an artist?
How I want to live as an artist is I want to value me the person first. But I do want the freedom to create whatever, whenever, however I would like to, in whatever frequency that suits me and my personal needs. As an artist, I want to show up connected with
the souls.
Well, that one has some extra grit. That was.
I was hoping somebody would say it.
I missed the ball. I was listening.
Connected with the source, but also connected with myself, right? Because a lot of artists, they ignore their own needs, and that's how people wind up getting sick or dehydrated or like having to be in the hospital while they're on tour because they're exhausted. And I want to be in a space where I just want to live in the freedom that is my creativity without worrying about anything like financial backing or time constraints or anything like that. Just allowing myself to create freely. So just doing what I want when I want. Like, if I want to go on tour, I'll go on tour. If I don't want to go on tour, I won't go on tour. If I want to have a show, I'll have a show. If I want to release a million songs on streaming, I'll do that. If I want to get a bunch of sync deals, I'll go ahead and do that. But it's not going to make or break me regardless.
So for me, how I want to live as an artist, one thing is I want to be able to live a regular life, but elevated and luxurious. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, I still want to be able to go to the grocery store and mind my business, not be bothered. I also want to have my people. I want to travel with my actual friends and family. Definitely. Without worrying about nothing. I don't want to worry about anything financial. I don't want to feel like I worry about anything material. I'm gonna be connected to
the source.
And just connected to the source. Yeah. And just create what I want to create, when I want to create it, how I want to create it. I think we all have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely am going to be working with people that I actually like. Yeah. And the people that I actually like and want to work with, they actually inspire me. So I'm going to be an artist who inspires and also is inspired.
I like that.
That's good.
I'm going to add on, too. Mm-hmm. I do want to...
And wealthy.
Yes.
Abundant.
Definitely want to...
Handsome.
I definitely want to be wealthy and live in positive abundance. But I was also going to say, I want to live the life of an artist that has a solid, like, tribe and team.
And morals.
Yeah.
I was going to say, integrity.
But also
with integrity.
Also, the people around me have
integrity
as well. Like, that's something that I really want. And they're fun.
Where ain't nothing worse than you be the only person with integrity. Yeah. Everybody else lying, cheating, and stealing.
Yeah. Then we got to throw the whole team away.
Then you Jesus.
That's crazy.
It wasn't everybody, but just one of them. Just one.
Wasn't that a wrestler? We lie, we cheat, we steal. Was it Eddie Guerrero? I got to look that up. It was back in the day. My bad. My brain went there.
Lord. Do y'all have any final thoughts on how you want to live your life as an artist?
Nah, y'all said everything that I was thinking. Any way I could have left any holes, y'all just said, let me just pop. All right. I'll just take that, just put that in my bucket, and just go hold that on the side. Still like an artist. That's how you steal like an artist.
And I started this.
Yes, it
just finished.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, ooh, I like what y'all did with the canvas. Let me just borrow that.
That's ours.
You got any final thoughts?
Nah, I'm good.
I would just say, if that's how you want to live your life as an artist, just do it. Start now. Start working toward it and allowing it to manifest in your life. Don't forget to comment below and let us know how you want to live your life as an artist. Because we really genuinely want to know and what your thoughts are on that. In the meantime, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload.
Ding.
And also, if you want to be a part of this conversation and to join us live every week and talk to us, talk to Ericool, talk to the good people of the Gray Area, make sure that you join the Patreon. The link is in the description, along with all the other things that we have going on. We have lots of things, music, journals, other content, art, all of the things. So make sure you check those things out. And we will see you guys next week.
Oh! Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
Oh, yeah. I'm Shikoye D.
Badman Breathing in here.
It's your boy, Damani.
And welcome to the Gray Area.
You say what?
And know yourself. Know your worth. Jukebox, give me another J.
Get on my face. Get on my face. Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.